my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Some ideas just stick, don't they? They sort of plant themselves in our minds, becoming these foundational pillars that shape careers, guide personal lives, maybe even subtly influence national leaders.
Yeah, they really do.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into one such foundational text that has, well, profoundly impacted millions. Stephen R. Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
A classic, for sure.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving into a book that's been a cornerstone of personal development since, what, 1989?
That's right.
Our source material today is a pretty comprehensive Wikipedia overview, giving us a concise yet hopefully thorough look at its core ideas and, you know, its enduring impact.
And I think a key insight here, right from the start, is how Covey really wanted to spur personal change by focusing on what he called a character ethic.
Ah, right, as opposed to the personality ethic.
Exactly. He argued that relying on superficial techniques, you know, quick fixes, or just managing your public image, that personality ethic, it only offers temporary solutions.
Kind of like putting lipstick on a pig.
Sort of, yeah. He believed true, lasting effectiveness comes from within. It's rooted in a character ethic, built on these timeless principles like integrity, humility, courage, justice.
The deeper stuff.
The deeper stuff. So this deep dive isn't just about listing the habits, but really understanding why they matter and how they connect to this broader, more principle-centered way of living.
Okay, so our mission for you, the listener, is to walk away with a really clear understanding of these 7 powerful habits. Not just the theory, but maybe with enough practical insight to spark an aha moment.
Yeah, maybe even give you the nudge to start applying them right away.
Think of it as your shortcut to understanding a classic.
A really useful shortcut.
Now, Covey didn't just list these habits randomly, did he? He organized them with a powerful progression in mind.
No, not at all. These habits aren't just a random list. They really form a kind of journey. We start by gaining mastery over ourselves, building what he called independence.
Right, the first 3.
Then we learn to interact powerfully with others, fostering interdependence. That's the next 3. Okay.
And finally, the 7th habit is like our essential fuel, making sure we can sustain all this growth without, you know, burning out.
So let's start with those independence habits. Habits 1, 2, and 3. The foundation for everything else.
Sounds good.
First up, habit 1. Be proactive. It sounds simple, almost like a workplace buzzword, just taking initiative. But it's really much deeper than that, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Covey essentially argues that between anything that happens to us, that stimulus and our reaction to it, there's this vital space.
A space.
Yeah, a space where we get to choose how we respond. He even draws on psychiatrist Viktor Frankl's work here.
Oh, from Man's Search for Meaning.
Exactly, suggesting that nothing can truly hurt a person without their consent. The real insight isn't just about doing things, but recognizing your ultimate power lies in choosing your response to any situation, no matter how tough.
So it transforms helplessness into agency.
Precisely. It shifts your focus from the overwhelming circle of concern, all those things that worry you, but you maybe can't directly change. Right, like global politics or the weather.
Yeah, exactly. It shifts focus from that to your powerful circle of influence, where you can actually make a difference. It really prompts an important question for all of us. Where do you typically place your focus?
Are you caught up in the things you can't control, or are you actively shaping your world through what you can influence? That's powerful.
It really reframes how we approach personal responsibility.
Okay, so taking that responsibility for our reactions, like we just discussed with habit 1, gives us incredible power. But that power needs direction, right? It needs a target.
Definitely. Otherwise, you're just reacting powerfully, but maybe randomly.
Which is precisely where habit 2, begin with the end in mind, comes in. It urges us to define our ultimate destination before we even take the first step.
And Covey's unique perspective here is this concept that all things are created twice.
Twice? How so?
Well, first, mentally, like an architect, meticulously designing a blueprint for a building, planning every single detail in their head or on paper.
Okay, the mental creation.
Right. And then physically, when that design is finally brought to life, when the building is actually constructed, he encourages creating a personal mission statement.
It's like a personal constitution.
Sort of, yeah. A clear vision of what you truly want in the future, and then acting based on those core principles you've identified. He challenges us with some pretty deep questions like, are you right now who you want to be?
Wow.
What do you have to say about yourself? How do you want to be remembered? He advises, you are the programmer, and to consistently grow and stay humble in that process.
So it's about setting that destination, that internal compass, and making sure it's pointed exactly where you want to go.
That's the gist of it. Setting the program before you run it.
Okay, so we're proactive. Mm-hmm. Habit one, we know where we're going. Habit two, and then habit three, put first things first. This feels like where the rubber meets the road.
It absolutely is.
Taking those mental creations and proactive choices and making them real in our daily lives.
Precisely. If habit one says, you are the programmer, and habit two says, write the program, then habit three is all about following the program.
Got it.
It's about minimizing that gap between what you say you value and what you actually do. It's about personal integrity.
Okay, and how do we do that practically? I know he has a tool for this.
He does. Covey famously uses the Eisenhower Matrix to help us prioritize tasks. It brilliantly distinguishes between importance and urgency.
Yes, the four quadrants.
Right. Think of it like this. Quadrant UMA is urgent and important.
The crises, the deadlines.
Exactly. Stuff you have to do. You handle these, but ideally, you want to shrink this quadrant over time.
Makes sense.
Quadrant two is not urgent, but important. This is the strategic sweet spot.
So planning, prevention, relationship building.
Yes. Long-term development, proactive work. Covey stresses that after you deal with Q1, this is where most of your time should be spent for true effectiveness.
Okay, that's key. What about the others?
Quadrant third is urgent, but not important. These are often distractions with deadlines, things that feel pressing but don't actually contribute to your mission.
Like some emails, interruptions, certain meetings, maybe?
Definitely. Things you might be able to delegate or say no to. And finally, quadrant fourth, not urgent and not important.
The time wasters.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Frivolous distractions, busy work that offers no real value. Eliminate these.
You know, many of us have those moments, right, where we realize we've spent an entire day just reacting in quadrant three.
Oh, absolutely. Putting out fires that weren't really ours or weren't that important.
Covey's framework really makes you ask, how much time do you spend in quadrant two focusing on that long-term important stuff compared to the urgent but less important quadrant three, where distractions can just eat up your day?
It's a confronting question, but crucial for effectiveness.
That Eisenhower matrix is incredibly powerful. Just visualizing it helps reevaluate the daily grind. Okay, so with those first three habits, we've built a strong foundation of personal independence, mastery over self.
Right, from dependence to independence.
Now, how do we move beyond that personal mastery and successfully engage with others? Mm-hmm. These next three habits, numbers 4, 5, and 6, are all about interdependence.
Yeah, how we interact, collaborate, and build relationships effectively.
So, habit 4, think win-win. It sounds like the ideal, doesn't it? But in a world that often feels pretty zero-sum, how does Covey suggest we truly achieve mutually beneficial outcomes? Is there a risk, maybe, that win-win gets misinterpreted as just compromise or even seen as naive sometimes?
That's a really critical question, and Covey is clear. Think win-win isn't just about being nice or finding a quick fix compromise. It's much deeper.
Okay.
It's a profound character-based come for human interaction and collaboration. It's about genuinely seeking mutually beneficial solutions, valuing and respecting people enough to find a win for all parties involved.
So not just splitting the difference, but finding a better way.
Exactly. The goal isn't just compromise where everyone kind of loses something, but finding a synergistic solution where everyone gains. This approach, he argues, leads to much better, more sustainable long-term resolutions than if only one person gets their way at another's expense.
Because it builds trust?
It builds that deep trust that is absolutely crucial for any lasting, productive relationship, personal or professional.
That concept of building genuine trust seems foundational. How does Covey then build on that with habit 5? Seek first to understand, then to be understood. What makes this one so critical for, well, real communication?
Oh, this one is huge. It's particularly compelling because it puts the emphasis squarely on empathetic listening.
Empathetic listening.
Meaning truly understanding another person first. Deeply from their frame of reference, not just waiting for your turn to talk or listening to reply.
Which is what most of us do, let's be honest.
Often, yes. But this deep, genuine understanding then compels them to reciprocate. It creates an atmosphere of caring and opens the door for positive problem solving.
Makes sense. You feel heard, you're more open.
Exactly. And Covey links this to the ancient Greek philosophy of persuasion, but he puts a really critical twist on the traditional order. You know, ethos, pathos, logos.
Right. Credibility, emotion, logic.
Yes. But Covey emphasizes the order. First, ethos. Your personal credibility, the trust you inspire, your emotional bank account with that person. It's about who you are.
Okay. Trust first.
Then pathos, the empathetic side. Aligning with the emotional trust and understanding of the other person's communication, it's about connecting with them on their level.
Understanding their feelings.
Right. And only then, third, comes logos. The logic, the reasoning part of your presentation, your facts and arguments, it's about what you say.
So logic comes last. That feels counterintuitive sometimes.
It can feel that way, but Covey explicitly states this order indicates their relative importance for influence. So it makes you ask. When you're trying to persuade or influence someone, how often do you truly prioritize establishing your credibility and understanding their emotions before you even start presenting your logical case?
That reordering really shifts the paradigm, doesn't it? It actually makes so much sense when you think about how people really connect and make decisions.
It really does. We often jump straight to the facts, the logos.
Yeah, here's why I'm right.
Exactly. But if we haven't earned trust, ethos, or understood their perspective and feelings, pathos, the facts often just, well, bounce off.
Totally. Okay, so when we put all that together, being proactive, having an end in mind, prioritizing, seeking win-win, truly understanding others, we get to habit 6, synergize. This sounds like the ultimate team-up.
It really is.
Where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Exactly that. Synergize is about combining the unique strengths of different people through positive teamwork to achieve goals that no one could have possibly done alone.
So it's not just cooperation, it's creative cooperation.
Precisely. It's creative cooperation where you don't just tolerate differences, you actually value them, you seek them out.
Because that's where the new ideas come from.
That's where the magic happens. When you bring diverse perspectives together in that environment of trust and mutual understanding built by the previous habits, you can spark innovative solutions and create outcomes far superior to what any individual or even a less collaborative group could produce.
It's like a celebration of teamwork, really.
Yeah.
Moving beyond just compromise to creating something entirely new and better together.
You got it.
Okay. And finally, the habit that ensures we can keep all these other plates spinning, the habit of renewal. Habit 7, sharpen the saw. What does that actually mean for our everyday lives? It sounds like maintenance.
It is maintenance, but crucial maintenance. This habit is all about balance and continuous self-renewal across 4 key dimensions of your life.
4 dimensions.
Yeah. Covey emphasizes maintaining your physical, mental, spiritual, and social-emotional resources, your energy, your health, basically creating a sustainable, long-term, effective lifestyle. He breaks it down into practical areas.
Okay, like what?
Well, physical renewal, primarily through exercise, proper nutrition, getting enough rest, you know, taking care of your body.
The basics, but essential.
Absolutely. Then mental renewal, engaging in activities like reading good literature, maybe journaling, continuous learning to expand your mind and perspective.
Keeping the mind sharp.
Right. Then spiritual renewal. This can be through practices like prayer, meditation, spending time in nature, or even service to society, connecting with your core values and maybe contributing to something beyond yourself.
Finding meaning.
Finding meaning, yeah. And finally, social emotional renewal. Building and maintaining meaningful relationships, practicing that empathy from habit 5, serving others, nurturing connections.
Wow, it covers everything.
It really does. Yeah. And Covey frames this as the upward spiral model. It's not just about doing these habits once.
Right, it's not a checklist.
No. It's continually engaging in a cycle of learning the principles, committing to them, and then actively doing them. With each iteration, each cycle you ascend, gaining deeper understanding and mastery, always pushing towards greater personal freedom, wisdom, effectiveness.
That's a great image, the upward spiral.
It really invites an important personal reflection, doesn't it? How consistently do you dedicate time to truly sharpen your saw in all these areas, physical, mental, spiritual, social, emotional, to ensure your long-term effectiveness and, frankly, prevent burnout?
Yeah, it's easy to let one or more of those slide when things get busy.
Very easy. But neglecting renewal eventually dulls the saw, making all the other habits harder to practice.
So these habits, taken together, that clearly aren't just abstract ideas. They've made a tangible impact on countless individuals, but also institutions, right?
Yeah.
What's the bigger picture of their influence?
Oh, the reception and influence of the Seven Habits have been immense, truly global. By the time Stephen Covey passed away in 2012, the book had sold over 20 million copies.
20 million? That's staggering.
It really is. And its impact was so significant that back in 1994, U.S. President Bill Clinton actually invited Covey to Camp David.
To Camp David. Seriously.
Yeah, to counsel him on integrating the book's ideas into his presidency. That's a pretty clear testament to its perceived real-world value, right?
Absolutely. High-level stuff.
And Time magazine recognized its enduring relevance, too, listing it as one of the 25 most influential business management books back in 2011.
Still relevant decades later.
Definitely. And the core ideas have even been adapted for younger audiences. Stephen's son, Sean Covey, wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens and also The 7 Habits of Happy Kids.
Wow, so taking these principles right down to childhood.
Yeah, it really demonstrates the perceived universal applicability of these principles across all stages of life, from kids learning basics to presidents shaping policy.
This deep dive has truly shown us that effectiveness, according to Covey, isn't just about doing more or even doing things faster. It's about strategically aligning our actions with our deepest principles.
That's the core of it.
It's a journey, isn't it? From dependence to independence, and then onwards to powerful interdependence, all while making sure we renew ourselves along the way.
And what's particularly powerful, I think, is that the framework provided isn't some rigid set of rules you have to follow perfectly. It's more like a pathway.
A map.
Yeah, a pathway to personal freedom, security, wisdom, and power that comes through continuous education of your conscience and just consistent application. It's a journey, like you said, not a destination. It invites us to continually learn, commit, and do.
Building a character that's truly effective from the inside out.
Exactly. That's the character ethic in action.
Okay, so for a final provocative thought for you, the listener, if all things are created twice, as Covey suggests, first in the mind, then in reality, what mental creation could you initiate today? Something that could fundamentally alter your path towards your desired future, regardless of how small or ambitious it seems right now. Take a moment, maybe later today, to truly envision that end in mind.
That's a powerful exercise.
We hope this deep dive into the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People has equipped you with some valuable insights, maybe even a fresh perspective on what it means to be truly effective in your own life.
Keep asking questions, keep exploring,
and keep diving deep.